A Shakespearean character in Henry VI once mused, "The first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers." They missed a few. And in Washington, D.C., where the locals often say, if you throw a rock, you'll hit a lawyer, and probably should, a special lawyers committee that supports the much-admired Shakespeare Theater scheduled a historical event. Hamlet gets his day in court. Charged with the first-degree murder of Polonius, Hamlet's attorneys pled him not guilty by reason of insanity. The trial was held at a dinner at the Supreme Court hosted by Justice Anthony Kennedy. The jury was picked at random from the guests and included Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Shakespeare, Hamlet, and the High Court to play incomplete without our own Nina Totenberg.
All rise. The Eastern High Court for the Kingdom of Denmark is now in session. The Honorable Anthony M. Kennedy, Justice, presiding.
And so it began. In the opening statements, there was little elaboration of the facts, so in case you don't have your cliff notes handy, here's a brief summary of the plot. Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, comes home from abroad for his father's funeral. He finds his mother married to his uncle Claudius, the man who may have murdered his father. The father's ghost demands revenge, but Hamlet at first hesitates. In the process of investigating his father's death, he rejects the beautiful Ophelia, and then, having decided to kill Claudius, by accident murders her father Polonius, mistaking him for Claudius. Ophelia commits suicide, and by the end of the play, almost everyone else, including Hamlet, his mother, and Claudius, is dead by sword or poison. In his opening statement to the jury, defense lawyer Meyer Feldman argued that Hamlet was crazy when he killed Polonius. Quote, "He was not rational. He had no criminal intent." Prosecutor Peter Wallace encountered, "Hamlet is rational, calculating, in short, a faker." The defense called as its lead witness noted Harvard psychiatrist Thomas Gutheil. Question, does the record reveal a consistent pattern of mental illness? Answer, yes, it does. Question, what illness does it reveal?
The picture most clear from the record is what is now referred to as bipolar illness, which used to be referred to in the old nomenclature as manic depressive illness, of a particular type called the rapid cycling form.
And what are some of the characteristic symptoms?
The most important ones that are revealed in the record are first an elated, accelerated, or agitated mood.
Exemplified, he said, by babbling speech, punning, hypersexuality, inappropriate hostility, and a grandiose sense of mission.
How about a suicidal preoccupation? Did you find that here?
Definitely. The focus was in a long monologue that he had with the open air called To Be or Not to Be.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them. To die. To sleep. No more. And by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished.
The trial continued with the prosecution presenting its lead witness, another noted Harvard psychiatrist, Dr. Alan Stone.
Those reflections, to be or not to be, are not the reflections of a suicidal person. Hamlet is speaking in universal terms about the human situation. He is not an individual thinking about killing himself. He is thinking about my situation. He is thinking about your situation. He is thinking about our situation.
Dr. Stone noted that Prince Hamlet was not a middle-class fellow, that he was, after all, the prince of the realm, and therefore could hardly be accused of delusions of grandiosity. The doctor conceded Hamlet was depressed, but said the prince had good reason for the blues.
His father was killed. His mother may or may not have been adulterous. And he is an angry, misogynist man. But he is not mad. He is not manic depressive.
Indeed, said Stone, there is ample evidence in Shakespeare's record of Hamlet as a man quintessentially under control, a man who, when he comes upon his uncle praying in chapel, decides not to kill him then because his soul would go to heaven, but to wait until later when Claudius is no longer in prayer.
And am I then revenged to take him in the purging of his soul when he is fit and seasoned for his passage? No. No. Up, sword. And know thou a more horrid hint, when he is drunk, asleep, or in his rage, or in the incestuous pleasure of his bed, then trip him, that his heels may kick at heaven, and that his soul may be as damned and black as hell whereto it goes.
When the duel of the psychiatrist was over, it was time for closing statements to the jury. Prosecutor Ted Olson, who most recently represented President Reagan in the Iran-Contra investigation, portrayed Prince Hamlet as a cold-blooded murderer.
Hamlet's acts were neither rash nor ill-considered. He was truly troubled, but he most certainly was not insane. He mistakenly killed Polonius rather than Claudius, but at a moment that he had decided to kill.
Defense lawyer Abby Lowell, whose other clients have included congressmen and White House aides, pleaded with the jury for understanding.
We have often seen in our society what looks like a brutal crime. Brothers killing their parents, a woman wounding her spouse, is not a crime at all, but is a result of mental illness. And as with those other cases, what Hamlet needs is treatment and not jail. In conclusion, there is no better summary than what my client has told you and Laertes, may he rest in peace, in their duel. And he turned to Laertes with sword in hand and he said, "What I have done, I here proclaim, was madness."
Was Hamlet wrong, Laertes? Never Hamlet. If Hamlet from himself be ta'en away, and when he's not himself does wrong, Laertes, then Hamlet does it not. Hamlet denies it. Who does it then? His madness.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't punish Hamlet. Get him the help and treatment he needs. Thank you very much.
After the summations, Justice Anthony Kennedy instructed the jury that Hamlet could be relieved of criminal responsibility for his actions only if, as a result of a mental disorder, he either lacked the capacity to understand the wrongfulness of his conduct or was unable to conform his conduct to the law. The jury retired to deliberate and returned with a two-part verdict.
We, the jury, find the defendant Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, criminally responsible at the time of the killing of Polonius. Furthermore, we would like the prosecution, and this is on the basis of a unanimous recommendation of the jury, to investigate whether Hamlet should be held criminally responsible for the destruction of Ophelia.
According to sources close to the jury, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, acting as a juror, was the originator of the idea that the Crown should pursue charges against Hamlet over the demise of Ophelia. But perhaps the overriding observation of the night belonged to Justice Kennedy in his last words to Hamlet.
The verdict of the jury leaves us no choice but to remand you to the pages of our literary heritage, where you may emerge again and again to challenge us and each generation to know more about ourselves and the wellsprings of human action and of our own humanity. Thank you very much.
I'm Nina Totenberg in Washington.
And the noted actor Tom Hulce performed our readings from Hamlet. He played the prince in last year's production at the Shakespeare Theater here in Washington, D.C.